It used to be that when we went to elect candidates to run for president, the public wasn't really all that involved.
Today, we're used to watching debate after debate on a stage crowded with candidates and going to the polls to vote in our party's primary months before Election Day in November.
But prior to 1972, the system was a little different. Delegates were elected to the convention in a closed party process. They weren't bound by the results of the primary, and most states didn't even have a primary. Then, between 1968 and 72, Democrats went through a reform process because those in the anti-Vietnam War movement felt they had been cut out of the 1968 Democratic Convention. They rioted in the streets outside of the convention hall that year.
So after this latest election, Elaine Kmark thinks we might want to revisit the way we used to do things. She's a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, and the show's Lauren Gilger spoke with her about a new paper she wrote that suggests we should reinsert the peer review process into the presidential nomination process.
We have nominated the first president ever in history who has no political experience whatsoever and no governmental experience whatsoever. Now, so far, that's showing in just about everything that he's done or failed to do. President Trump may right his ship and you know, do some learning on the job. But frankly, it's a really tough job to learn when you just got there and you don't know anything about anything, which is the situation he finds himself in. So in the old system, which certainly had its faults, there's no doubt about it, but one thing the old system did have was something we call peer review. In other words, other politicians evaluated the people who wanted to be president. And they evaluated them on a wide variety of issues. Could they win? And could they govern? Mm-hmm. And was this someone they could work with?
So how would this work, this peer review process? You can't, at this point, you think, go back and take people out of this process now that they have it.
No, of course not. As I said, look, there's almost nobody alive who can even remember the old system. So this generation of voters believes fervently that they ought to make the decision. I think some of this will happen naturally. If Donald Trump's presidency continues to flounder, the next time we look for presidents, we'll look for somebody with more experience. I also think there are ways that both parties can bring their congressional wing and their governors into the process, not necessarily by giving them a vote, but by having them have meetings with the candidates to talk to the candidates, let us know what they think about the candidates. You know, one of the things that's so important here is that most Americans never meet these people running for president, but the members of Congress, the governors, they almost always know these people and have a deeper appreciation of their strengths and weaknesses than the voters do. So in the paper I wrote on this, I outlined a couple different ways where you could have the people who have to work with the president evaluating people who want to be president before the voters vote. And then the voters can say, well, you know, the heck with all of you, we don't want to listen to you. Or the voters can say, well, gee, they've got some good points. This person sounds good, but he probably doesn't have the skill or the background to make good on his promises. I mean, part of this is saying to the other elected officials, look, you've got a responsibility here to help the public make this decision. In the old days, you were the only ones that made this decision, okay? But these days, you've got a responsibility to say to the primary voters, look, this is what I think of this person and his or her fitness to be president. And then, you know, the voters can still make up their own minds, but they ought to do it with some deeper understanding of the talent needed to be president than we do today.
So many people will say that Donald Trump's election was in reaction to the party system, was a push against the party system, and Bernie Sanders as well. So do you think that do you think the party system's too far gone, I guess, to make them this powerful in it?
I think in this particular cycle, it probably was. Okay. I think in this particular cycle, especially on the Republican side, there was so much anger at all the party officials that it may not have mattered at all. On the other hand, in the course of being required to evaluate people, you push them in a way that the voters don't and in a way the press doesn't. You know, it went almost unnoticed that Donald Trump in one debate didn't know what the nuclear triad was. Now, most Americans don't know what it is, and it doesn't matter if most Americans don't know what it is, but it sure as heck matters if the President of the United States knows what it is. And he clearly didn't know what it was. And so that sort of thing would be noted by people who had experience in government. That sort of thing would be discussed. That sort of thing, if they were required to, you know, meet with these candidates and make some evaluation, it could be as simple as a vote of no confidence. In other words, the people who are in the business of government know things about the government. You wouldn't go to a neurosurgeon who had not been certified by other neurosurgeons, right? You don't want your neurosurgeons certified by your electricians.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, every other field of responsibility in American life, we have some sort of peer review before people are allowed to do things. Politics, we don't, and frankly, we shouldn't have an absolute peer review. That's a closed system. But we ought to have some element of it in the system.
All right. Elaine K. Mark is a senior fellow with the Brookings Institute. Elaine, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.